appearance day of Srila Thakura Bhaktivinoda. This morning, I would like to read a beautiful essay which was written by Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur in September of 1927. This beautiful writing was written by the most illustrious son of Bhaktivinoda Thakur on the day of his divine appearance. I request everyone to listen very carefully. I do not believe there is anyone in all of creation that could so intimately and authoritatively extol the glories of Bhaktivinoda Thakur greater than Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur. This was printed in The Harmonist, September 1927. The transcendental nature of Thakur Bhaktivinoda as realized by Shuddha Bhaktas finds expression in the following sloka, which is repeated by all his followers in making their daily obeisance to him. Obeisance to thee, Bhaktivinoda, by name Sachit Ananda, the embodiment of Gaur's love, the great follower of Rupa. The mercy of Gaur Sundar has the power of establishing jivas in their true nature and thereby enabling them to realize the bliss of eternal service to God. Thakur Bhaktivinoda is the embodiment of this shakti of divine love. Gaur Sundar is Godhead himself. His attributes are not separate from himself. There is no difference between the attributes of Gaur Sundar and Gaura Sundar himself. The Bhakta is the inseparably associated counterpart of Godhead. The attributes of God and the devotee of God are divine. His relation to God is one of inconceivable simultaneous difference and identity. The difference consists in this, that the Shakti and the devotee are worshippers, and the object of worship, Godhead, with all his transcendental paraphernalia, ever indwells his Shakti and his devotee. They are his own. Out of pity for the apostate jivas, God sends his own messenger into this world in every age for establishing the pure and eternal religion in the form of constant service of Krishna. Either Krishna or Krishna's own messenger establishes the true and eternal religion in this world. This task is beyond the capacity of those who are not helped by the grace of God himself. It will not be possible for us to understand the true meaning of the career of Thakur Bhaktivinoda if we do not keep constantly in our mind then this all-important fact that Thakur is the embodiment of divine love, a savior of the fallen beings, sent by God himself into this world for the purpose of establishing the eternal religion of all jivas, which consists in the eternal and incessant service of Krishna. He taught Sanatan Dharma to the world by the propaganda and by practicing it himself in every act of his earthly life. All good qualities of Krishna manifest themselves in his devotee and not at all in those who are given to selfish enjoyments, says the Bhagavatam. He was an ideal father, erudite scholar, practical reformer, and distinguished author. This was realized by everyone who had the good fortune of coming into close personal contact with him. It is realized by an increasing number of people in this country who have devoted their serious attention to the subject. His practice is exemplified by the conduct of every one of his followers. They exist at the present moment in our very midst, and it is quite practicable for any of us to observe closely their mode of life. Everyone who has really taken the trouble of watching their daily life is bound to be convinced of the transcendental purity of the minutest acts of their lives. Those Sudha Bhaktas fully realize that it is by following the path chalked out by Thakura Bhaktivinod that they have been enabled to obtain such perfect purity of body, mind, and speech. The purity of the stream is the conclusive proof of the purity of the source. Thakur Bhaktivinod, in the midst of the multifarious duties of a most active official, found time to propagate the teachings of Sri Gaurasundar and firmly reestablished the practice of Sanatan Dharma in this country. His activity was many-sided. A main item was the identification and restoration of forgotten and uncared for holy places. His epoch making and most momentous discovery in this field was that of the actual site of Sridham Mayapur, the place of the advent of Mahaprabhu Sri Chaitanya Dev, which was completely lost sight of for many years. The actual site of the residence of Pandit Jagannath Mishra, the father of Sri Gaurasundar, was found out and arrangements were made for the preservation of this holy site and for the construction of a permanent shrine on the spot in which holy images of Sri Sri Mahaprabhu and Vishnu Priya Devi were solemnly installed. Many of the old sites connected with Mahaprabhu in the region of Goda were discovered and identified, and arrangement made for the proper maintenance of the shrines connected therewith. Propaganda centers were open in different places of Goda Desh. Thakur Bhaktivinod established Namahatas, propaganda centers for the holy name, at different places in the districts of Nadia, Burdwan, Midnapur, etc. He also worked hard for the revival of the religion of unalloyed transcendental love of Godhead in the Mutra quarters. For this purpose, Thakur Bhaktivinod constantly traveled from place to place, often on foot, begging at every door and always delighting in Hari Kirtan in the company of the large number of devotees. The closing years of his life were spent at Puri, where he built a small house for the purpose of bhajan on the sea beach. He cut himself off from the world during the last 4 years till his disappearance in 1914. During these years, he was visited in his bhajan kutir by many people of every description and was ever ready to help them with advice and necessary instructions. It will thus appear that the Thakur Bhaktivinod was, in his own life, indefatigable in the practice of Shuddha Sanatan Dharma taught by Mahaprabhu and was no less strenuously occupied in the work of restoration of the worship of God at holy sites and establishment of the congregational and individual religious life in the country. But at the same time, he was aware that his mission was also to expound to the whole world the teachings of Sri Mahaprabhu, which had been and still is misunderstood by people in this country and elsewhere. He directed his attention in the first instance to Bengal. He found that people had practically no knowledge of the monumental works of the associates and the most illustrious followers of Mahaprabhu. The very existence of many of those works are unknown. Those who gave themselves out to be the followers of Mahaprabhu mistook ignorance of the scriptures for devotion and selfish enjoyment for love of God. The educated people had very little practice of religion in any form. The mass, and especially women, were addicted to smarter ritualistic practices, the object of which was the attainment of selfish enjoyments. The pundits were mostly either supporters of such fruitive ceremonies or believers in an abstract form of God devoid of all spiritual pastimes. This latter, being the bequest of godless Buddhism and the teachings of Sri Shankaracharya. Skepticism amongst the educated classes, coupled with the prevalence of polytheist or neutralistic and negative attitudes on the part of the learned among the pundits, left the country without a lead on the path of the eternal religion of Jiva. The incessant service of Godhead, who is the absolute truth, the eternal existence, and the ocean of all transcendental bliss. The embodiment of God's love in the form of Thakur Bhaktivinod, out of pity for Jiva, in his distress and perplexity, took up at this stage the task of enlightening him again about the only duty of all Jivas, which has been proclaimed by all the different scriptures and which was made clearly manifest to the people of this country 400 years ago by the Supreme Lord himself, who, playing the role of a devotee, taught Jiva his duty in its concrete form, that there might be no room for misunderstanding. Himself practicing the Dharma, the Lord teaches the Jiva that if one does not practice Dharma himself, he cannot teach it to others. The career of Mahaprabhu, embodying the teachings of all the scriptures, was the subject that Thakur Bhaktivinod placed before the people of Bengal in clear and simple language, and with a wealth of learning and depth of spiritual insight that make his numerous works a part and parcel of the scriptures of all countries, explaining in minutest detail, in unambiguous language, the only true religion of all Jivas. They deserve to rank with the immortal works of Thakur Vrindavan Das and of Kaviraj Goswami as scriptures of the Shuddha Sanatan Dharma. We have not obtained any comprehensive work on the Shuddha Sanatan Dharma directly from the pen of Sri Chaitanya Dev himself. His teachings were, however, recorded with the most zealous care by his associates and followers during the period that he remained manifest in the world and that immediately following his disappearance. The monumental works of the six Goswamis were composed in Sanskrit under his own direction. The account of his career was recorded systematically in verse in their great works, Sri Chaitanya Bhagavat and Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita by Thakur Vrindavan Das and Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami, respectively, both of whom were disciples of Lord Nityananda, the greatest associated counterpart of Sriman Mahaprabhu. In Bengal, at the time of the appearance of Thakur Bhaktivinod, the works of the six Goswamis were practically unknown. The works of Thakur Vrindavan Das and Kaviraj Goswami were little known and were almost utterly misunderstood. The so-called Vaishnavas of Bengal were then, as a rule, looked down upon by the orthodox Hindu society. But the name of Mahaprabhu was universally venerated. The esoteric meaning of his teachings had been completely forgotten, and even the most highly gifted intellects of the country admired Vaishnav devotional literature as merely satisfying their poetic fancies. The divinity was confounded with humanity. The philanthropic attitude was general and was partly responsible for the prevalence of immoralities in so-called many religious practices that ate into the vitals of society. With the object of dispelling this general ignorance of the principles of Shuddha Sanatan Dharma, Thakur Bhaktivinod applied himself to publish systematically important authoritative works dealing with the teachings of Mahaprabhu with exhaustive explanatory notes in Bengali. A few of these publications may be mentioned here. In 1880, he published Sri Krishna Samhita in Sanskrit. with the most learned introduction, appendix, and translation in Bengali. In 1886, he published the Gita with commentaries of Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur and his own animation, Rasik Ranjo, in Bengali. In 1891, Srimad Bhagavad Gita with commentaries of Srila Baladev Vidyabhushan and his Bengali annotation, Bidrad Ranjan. In 1894, Ishopanishad with his Bengali annotation. In 1895, Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita with his Amrita Prabaha Bhashya in Bengali. In 1897, Sri Brahma Samhita with his Bengali annotation, Prakashind. In 1898, Sri Krishna Karanamrita with his Bengali annotation. In the same year, Sri Upadeshamrita by Sri Rupa Goswami with his Bengali annotation. And the Sri Brihat Bhagavatamrita by Sri Sanatan Goswami with his annotation in Sanskrit and Bengali. In 1901, in 1904, he edited a Vaishnav Smriti by Srila Gopal Bhatta Goswami. This was supplemented by the publication of a series of original works in Bengali and verse. Some of the most important of them in 1881, Kalyan Kalpataru. In 1886, Sri Chaitanya Shikshamrita. In 1890, Sri Navadvip Dham Mahatmya. In 1892, Mahaprabhu and His Shiksha. 1893, Sri Sharanagati. Shotashatsu and Jaiva Dharma. In 1900, Sri Harinam Chintamani. In 1902, Bhajana Rahasya. The Bengali religious monthly, the Sajjana Toshini, was started by him in 1879, and he continued to edit the paper for 17 years when it was made over to the present editor, who published it for 7 years till the appearance of the weekly Gaudiya. The only Bengali organ of the Shuddha Bhakti movement, the Sajjana Toshini, reappeared this year, bearing also the alternative name of the Harmonist, and has been given by her editor a trilingual garb of English, Sanskrit, and Hindi. Besides these, Thakur Bhaktivinod also wrote a number of works in English, Sanskrit, Persian, Urdu, and Hindi. Thakur Bhaktivinod possessed a style that is easy, invigorating, cheerful, lucid, and uniform, and enriched with the fresh wealth of an ample vocabulary culled from the inexhaustible storehouse of Sanskrit and adapted into Bengali in a natural way. The Bengali language, in the hands of Thakur Bhaktivinod, has thus been transformed into a powerful vehicle for the conveyance of the sublimest and the most highly philosophical truths of religion with an ease and precision that makes his works highly interesting and at the same time perfectly intelligible to the most ordinary reader, including women and children. Thakur Bhaktivinod is the pioneer of the Shuddha Bhakti movement that is at present sweeping over the country. In his numerous literary works, he has supplied the golden key that unlocks the region of eternal bliss to all jivas. The teachings of Mahaprabhu give us the real meaning of the scriptures, reconciling all differences of opinion that trouble the world. In Mahaprabhu centers the only hope of the future and present of all jivas. But the teachings of Mahaprabhu were not grasped by the people of this country, and their real significance passed long ago clean out of the memory of the nation. Thakur Bhaktivinod has made the eternal religion live again in his pages. Without his help, nobody at the present day can understand the teachings of Mahaprabhu or the Absolute Truth. With his help, the Absolute Truth can be easily understood. The Absolute Truth alone can reconcile the otherwise irreconcilable differences and discords of this world. It is universally recognized that the truth is bound to prevail over untruth in the long run. But even the truth can only be grasped by those whose minds are perfectly free and prepared to receive it when it actually makes its appearance. But most of us are not ready to welcome the truth for its own sake. Thakur Bhaktivinod tells us that a perfectly pure mind alone is fit to receive the truth. Perfect purity is not to be found in the world. It belongs to divinity alone, and it is imparted by divine grace. And God often sends his own beloved to convey his grace to the fallen jivas, if only they submit to receive it from him. The Utsavs, religious celebrations of the Vaishnavas, are the concrete realization of this divine truth. They are the practical recognition of the necessity of honoring God by the method of honoring his beloved, because it is the only way of serving God and obtaining his grace. We shall conclude this brief account of Thakur Bhaktivinod by presenting the reader with a few short extracts from the Thakur's writings embodying his views regarding Nam Bhajan, adoration of the holy name, which constitutes the fundamental doctrine of the Shuddha Sanatan Dharma and the solution offered by him of some of the most pressing problems that confront the generation. The Holy Name by Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur. There are many persons who, failing to understand the distinction between the dimly perceived name and the Holy Name himself, suppose that the Holy Name is only an ordinary word made up of certain letters of the alphabet, and that therefore the taking of the Holy Name without faith is also effective. They adduce as proofs the history of Ajamil and certain passages of the scriptures. It has already been stated that the Holy Name is the Absolute Truth himself and the embodiment of the elixir of the highest ecstatic emotion, and is not attainable by the organs of sense. This being so, if one does not seek the help of the Holy Name with a mind free from offense, no good result is possible. The effect of the utterance of the Holy Name by a person devoid of faith is that thereby it becomes possible for such person subsequently to take the Holy Name with faith. Therefore, those who, deliberately misinterpreting for a selfish purpose, explain the Holy Name as being merely a juxtaposition of a number of letters forming only a constituent part of fruitive ceremonials, and are utterly impious, and their taking of the name is an offense against the Holy Name itself. This is from Harinam, page 7. Sriman Mahaprabhu, with his associated counterparts, attendants, powers, and associates, has taught the jivas of the world Sankirtan, congregational chanting of Harinam, the name of Hari, which is the proper religion in Kali Yuga. It is not the fact that his appearance was for the purpose of the deliverance of a small number of people in India. On the contrary, his purpose was to deliver all jivas by the propagation of the eternal religion to all countries of the world. Mahaprabhu himself declared this in the following words: "My name will spread into all the regions and villages of the earth." There is no doubt that this indisputable command will very shortly turn into a fact. It appears to be absolutely certain that all the religions of the world will mature into one universal church of the Sankirtan of the Holy Name. Oh, when will that day arrive when in England, France, Russia, Prussia, and America, fortunate men of those countries with flags, drums, kola, karatals, etc., in their native towns, shouting ever and anon the holy name of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, it will send a thrill of ecstatic delight all over the world. When will that auspicious day make its appearance, when from one end of the earth, white men of Europe and America forming into procession and shouting, "All glory to Sri Satchinandana," will meet halfway and embrace us as brothers, and the devotees of our country will reciprocate, advancing from the other end of the world? When will that day be when those Europeans will declare, "Brothers, we have betaken ourselves to the holy feet of Sri Chaitanya Dev, the ocean of love. We beseech you to embrace us as a token of your kindness"? When will that day dawn when the absolutely pure transcendental love of Vishnu will be the only religion of all jivas, and like rivers meeting the ocean, all the narrow creeds will finally merge in the eternal Vaishnava religion? This was from the Sajjana Toshini, Volume 4, page 41. Varnashram Dharma by Bhaktivinoda Thakur. It is not the purpose of any patriotic Indian to destroy the Varnashram Dharma, the duties of the four Varnas and the four stages. It is our duty to eliminate the impurities that have crept into the system. In order to rejuvenate Varnashram Dharma, it will be necessary to adopt the following principles. 1. No one's varna will be settled by birth alone. 2. The varna of every person should be settled in accordance with the nature formed by the association of early years and by the course of acquisition of knowledge and experience. The selection of Satguru, true spiritual guide. At the time of accepting a preceptor, one must satisfy himself that, one, he must be well acquainted with the true significance of the scriptures that will enable him to dispel the gloom of ignorance, and will enable him to dispel the gloom of ignorance from the mind of the disciple, and that, two, he must be above all human frailties and ever devoted to the transcendental truth. Such a preceptor is doubtless capable of instructing the disciple in knowledge of every kind. The preceptor who initiates should never be renounced except for the following two reasons. The disciple should renounce his preceptor. I'll read that again. Such a preceptor is doubtless capable of instructing the disciple in knowledge of every kind. The preceptor who initiates should never be renounced except for the following two reasons. One, the disciple should renounce the preceptor when he discovers that his guru does not possess the above qualities due to the disciple's mistake in choice. Two, the disciple should repudiate his preceptor in case he, the preceptor, becomes a hater of Vishnu and Vaishnavas. Within the Gaudiya Sampradaya, an abundant crop of evils have sprung up during the last 400 years. The first and foremost duty of an acharya is to uproot those evils completely. He alone is an acharya who teaches the dharma that he himself practices. Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur made two predictions. Some person imbued with the power of God will again establish the true Varnashram Dharma in accordance with the divine dispensation. Two, within a short time, there will exist only one sampradaya in the realm of devotion or bhakti. Its name will be Sri Brahma Sampradaya. All sampradayas will merge into this Brahma Sampradaya. This was written in September of 1927 in the Harmonist magazine by Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. Yes?
Before you close that, could we once more, because it was not clear to me, you had mentioned about Bhaktivinod Thakur was saying the specification or qualities of the acharya, and thereafter, in case of any difficulty, we have to refer to the condition under which the preceptor or guru is to be rejected. Could you please read it again?
I have to try to find it. This is from Jaiva Dharma. The selection of Satguru, true spiritual guide, at the time of accepting a preceptor, one must satisfy himself that, one, he must be well acquainted with the true significance of the scriptures that will enable him to dispel the gloom of ignorance from the mind of the disciple, and that, two, he must be above all human frailties and ever devoted to the transcendental truth. Such a preceptor is doubtless capable of instructing the disciple in knowledge of every kind. The preceptor who initiates should never be renounced, except for the two following reasons. One, the disciple should renounce his preceptor when he discovers that his guru does not possess the above qualities due to the disciple's mistake in choice. Two, the disciple should repudiate his preceptor in case he becomes a hater of Vishnu and Vaishnava. Within the Gaudiya Sampradaya, an abundant crop of evils have sprung up during the past 400 years. The first and foremost duty of an acharya is to uproot those evils completely. He alone is an acharya who teaches the dharma that he himself practices. Thakur's two predictions. Some person imbued with the power of God will again establish the true Varnashram Dharma in accordance with the divine dispensation. And two, within a short time there will exist only one sampradaya in the realm of devotion or bhakti. Its name will be Sri Brahma Sampradaya. All other sampradayas will merge in this Brahma Sampradaya. Any other questions? Actually,
the article
this article I've never read before in my life. I just saw the title and I decided I'll read it since it's from Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati.
There's a quotation from Sajjan Toshini, volume 4, page 41, which you quoted. Regarding the holy name, extracts from Naam Bhajan.
I should read it again?
No, I'm just asking whether it says the holy names will spread everywhere. What year that was printed? Does it say the year when it was that article was printed?
we would have to go back.
The Universal Church.
Ah, that's so beautiful. Should I read that again? Very sweet. It gives great hope to Malechas and Yavanas like me.
Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur ki.
It says Sajjana Toshni, volume 4, page 41. It doesn't say the date. It says that the Sajjana Toshni was started by Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur in 1879, and he continued to edit the paper for 17 years. This is the writings of Bhaktivinoda, where he's quoting Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He says that on his purpose, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's purpose, was to deliver all jivas by the propagation of the eternal religion to all countries of the world. Mahaprabhu himself declared this in the following words: "My name will spread into all the regions and villages of the earth. There is no doubt that this is the words of Bhaktivinoda, there is no doubt that this indisputable command will very shortly turn into a fact. It appears to be absolutely certain that all the religions of the world will mature into one universal church of the Sankirtan of the Holy Name." Bhaktivinoda says, "Oh, when will that day arrive when in England, France, Russia, Prussia, and America, fortunate men of those countries with flags, drums, kola, karatal, cymbals, etc., in their native towns, shouting ever and anon the holy name of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. It will send a thrill of ecstatic delight all over the world. When will that auspicious day make its appearance, when from one end of the earth, white men of Europe and America forming into procession and shouting all glories to Sri Sachinandana will meet halfway and embrace us as brothers, and the devotees of our country will reciprocate, advancing from the other end? When will that day be when those Europeans will declare, 'Brothers, we have betaken ourselves to the holy feet of Sri Chaitanya Dev, the ocean of love. We beseech you to embrace us as a token of your kindness.' When will that day dawn when the absolutely pure transcendental love of Vishnu be the only religion of all jivas, and like rivers meeting the ocean, all the narrow creeds will finally merge in the eternal Vaishnav religion?" Srila Prabhupada, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, they considered that Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur was really the founder of the modern day Sankirtan movement. As Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati had described, that previous to Bhaktivinoda Thakur, practically the entire Gaudiya Sampradaya was misunderstood because so many deviations were accepted as the very teachings of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And therefore, sahajya, which means to take something cheaply, to not understand the pristine dignity of Mahaprabhu's teachings and the previous acharyas, it became prominent. And all immoralities were accepted as not only the precepts of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, but the practice of his followers. So therefore, the innocent masses, seeing such hypocrisy, simply considered that this mission of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was absolutely undesirable and impure. And those great saints who were truly imbibing the pure principles of Gauranga Mahaprabhu, who were truly teaching the divine message of Sri Chaitanya Dev, their writings and their teachings was mainly for those people who had already by nature assimilated the principles of bhakti. They were basically writing for other Vaishnavas, other true and pure Vaishnavas. Bhaktivinoda Thakur did something which was unprecedented in the age that he was living. He took the pure principles of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and by his life and by his writings and by his speeches, he made them understandable and attractive even for atheists, even for mental speculators, even for people of other lands who had no conception of the school of bhakti. He was the first acharya of the modern age to take the pure teachings of Gauranga Mahaprabhu and make it understandable to the entire world. And what all the acharyas who have followed him have done is simply, in their great humility and pure devotion, follow in his footsteps. We have read Bhaktivinoda Thakur's burning desire that people from all over the world will come together in the Sankirtan of the Holy Name, experiencing the thrill of the ecstasy of Krishna's mercy, Mahaprabhu's mercy. This was his burning desire. This was his dream. And we must understand that this dream is our life and soul. It was because Bhaktivinoda Thakur had this dream, this burning desire, that we have a spiritual life today. Because Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati, the disciple and the son of Bhaktivinoda, dedicated his entire life to fulfilling this dream. After Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur left this world, Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati was so much immersed in separation that he decided to simply sit down in a holy place in Mayapur Dham and chant the holy names for the rest of his life. But other sympathetic followers of Bhaktivinoda told Bhakti Siddhanta that he has a dream. And although he may have left this world, his dream is still living. And you are the only person on this planet who can make his dream a reality. You must give your life to that. It wasn't because Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati was ambitious to be the great acharya of the Gaudiya Math that he took this position, but because he felt it was an utter necessity and his utmost responsibility to give his life at any cost for fulfilling the dream of Bhaktivinoda Thakur. And that great and illustrious disciple of Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati, Srila A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami, from his Guru Maharaj understood the dream of Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur. Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati established 64 Gaudiya Maths all over the world, all over India. He sent disciples to the European continent for the first time to personally preach the precepts of Mahaprabhu. He made tens and thousands of disciples. And one of those disciples, Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, the first time he met Bhakti Siddhanta, the first words that Bhakti Siddhanta spoke to him
was the dream of Bhaktivinod Thakur. At one Ultadanga Junction Road in Calcutta, when young Abhay Charan offered his obeisances, the dream of Bhaktivinod. You are an intelligent young man. You should take this teaching of Sri Chaitanya and you should spread it throughout the world in the English language. And from that moment, Srila Prabhupada began to contemplate the immortal dream of Thakur Bhaktivinod as it came through his own guru's mouth. And for decades, although he appeared externally to be performing many of the duties of a grihastha and always trying to assist his godbrothers in whatever way he could, in the core of his heart, he was constantly possessed with that burning responsibility to make the dream of Bhaktivinod a reality, to make the prediction of Bhaktivinod Thakur a truth that could be seen, appreciated by all. And it was with the dream of Bhaktivinod Thakur, with these very words that we have just read ringing in his heart, he stepped upon that boat, the Jaladuta. And despite poverty, seasickness, heart attacks, he came to the unknown land of America, the place which is most absolutely distant from morality and pure Vedic culture, and struggling alone through heat and cold, all he had within his heart were the words of his Guru Maharaj, which repeated the dream of Bhaktivinod Thakur. That people from the East and the West, from America, from Europe, from Russia, from Prussia, they will join with their brothers coming from this land of India, and they will raise their arms in the Sankirtan of the Holy Name. That all different colors, all different races, all different castes will, like rivers, will merge into the ocean of the Sankirtan of the name of Krishna. That great soul that Bhaktivinod Thakur predicted would soon come to fulfill his dream appeared. And by our supreme good fortune and by the mercy of that great soul and by the mercy of the servants of that great soul, we are all here together. And we should take that same dream as our very life and soul, to propagate without discrimination everywhere the pure teachings of Sri Chaitanya Dev and the Sankirtan of the Holy Name. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. And what is the greatest offering we can make to Thakur Bhaktivinod on this auspicious day of his appearance? To wholesale give our lives to assisting his servants in making this dream come truer and truer and truer, for the enlightenment of all jivas suffering in the toils of Maya. To sacrifice our body, our mind, our words, our wealth, our everything, to assist the servants of Bhaktivinod in making his dream come true. Thank you very much, Hare Krishna.